Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light.
You please stand and join us.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect delight, visions of rapture, numbers on my side, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my soul. This is my song. high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will.
Is kind for all your goodness. Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Lamentations 3. We're going to be looking at 21 through 24. Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You know you're getting older when you know more people in heaven than you do here on earth. I've been thinking about that saying last couple months, and I found out, to my surprise, that this saying encourages me. It gives me hope. You see, someday I will have the opportunity to see my earthly father once more. And better yet, I'm going to see my Heavenly Father for the very first time. So it does give me great hope. At this time of our worship service, we have a memorial. It's a time to remember and honor Christ Jesus' life. And yet, this memorial is quite different from any other memorial that we ever attended here on earth. Because we also remember and honor Christ Jesus' death. It was a death that gave life to me and to you. A death that forgave my sins and also yours. When you think of heaven, what pictures come to mind? What do you think about when you think about heaven? When I think about heaven, I remember about all the people that went before me, my friends, my family, the important individuals that made a difference in my life. When I think of heaven, I remember Christ Jesus' love, a love that became a sacrifice, again, just for me. And just for you. This gives me great comfort, and it also gives me great hope when I live my life. Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Just think about that. Just for a moment. His compassions never fail, and they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Shall we pray? Dear God, we approach your throne, Father, this morning. Great thanksgiving for who you are. Dear God, we come to this memorial, this time in our service, as we remember your Son's life here on earth. A life, Father, that he was born to die. Die for us individually. Dear God, we just ask that you be with us at this time, that we can reflect on this sacrifice of your sons. We just ask, Father, that this will encourage us and gives us hope and understanding for the times to come. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
This is a song I've done before, but I feel like it's appropriate to do it again today.
I thought that I was all alone, broken and afraid, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Well, I didn't even know that I had lost my way, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Till you opened up my eyes, I never knew that I couldn't ever make it without you. Even though the journey is long, and I know the road is hard, well, the one who's gone before me, he will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, now I realize the truth, that I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain of God. And as I travel on the road that you have led me down, you are here with me. Yes, you are here with me. And I have need for nothing more. Oh, now that I have found that you are here with me. Yes, you are here with me. I confess from time to time I lose my way, but you're always there to bring me back again. Even though the journey's long, and I know the road is hard, well, the one who's gone before me, he will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, now I realize the truth, that I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain of God. Sometimes I think of where it is I've come from, and the things I've left behind. But of all I've had and what I possess, nothing can quite compare with what's in front of me. Yeah, with what's in front of me. Yeah. Even though the journey is long, and I know the road is hard, well, the one who's gone before me, he will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, now I realize the truth, that I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain. Yes, I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain. Yes, I must go through the valley to stand upon the mountain. Thought that I was all alone, broken and afraid, but you are here with me. Yes, you are here with me.
Thank you, John. I was just going to tell the kids they're welcome to go to junior church, but they're out of here. Well, let me tell you, I must be a very special preacher and a very special person. Lately, when I've been checking my emails, I have messages that say, "Joel, you're a winner. You've been chosen for a trip to Disney World. Joel, would you please take a survey for us today?" They want my opinion. "Joel, we'd like to send you on a dream vacation this summer." Wow, I am special. I am chosen by these people. And of course, reality sets in, and I understand it's the marketer's scheme to try to make me feel special or to feel important so that I'm going to buy the product that they're selling. But let me tell you, in God's Word, we find out that we are special. We have been chosen. And God does desire to bless our lives and to use us in reaching our generation for Jesus Christ. My sermon this morning is going to be a little bit different. I give a lot of instructional sermons, and we pick a passage and we dig through it and see what Jesus... This morning, I hope this finds you in a place of encouragement today. We are a chosen people by God. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read one verse this morning. I know that's going to be different too. Usually my sermons are bombarded with all kinds of scripture and a little here and a little there. I want to focus on one verse this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, God tells us this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You see, God chose Israel to be his covenant people. He selected them out of all the nations of the world. God chose Israel. Now in Christ, the church is God's chosen community to reach the entire planet. This morning, I want to take a look at the privilege and the opportunity of being part of the chosen community of God. Like I said, I don't know where you're standing today, some of you, in your spiritual walk. I don't know where you are in your life journey. But I do know that every one of you belong to Jesus. I've been serving in this church long enough to know who belongs to Jesus. And I'm looking in the pews this morning, and I haven't seen one that doesn't. I don't know how you're feeling this morning. If your body's aching or your body's hurting, if you're frustrated, if you're tired, if you're hurt, if you're sick, if you're experiencing gain, if you're experiencing loss, if you're confused, or you just have everything in order right now because of God, I want you to hear something very loud and clear this morning. You are chosen. You were created for a reason and created for a purpose. I am going to dissect this one verse just a little bit, but it's very easy. You could pick out the outline in yourself. There's a few things here that you identify as a follower of Christ. God has called you a few different things. He didn't call you a sinner here. He didn't call you a disgrace. He didn't call you guilt or guilty. He didn't call you ugly. He didn't call you spoiled. He didn't call you rotten. He first and foremost said, you are chosen. You are a chosen people. That means, that word chosen there specifically means selected. You have been selected. God picked you to be a part of his plan in this great big world. Of everything God has going on in this world, and he's got a lot of stuff going on, things that you and I can't even comprehend sometimes, some responsibilities we would never want that God takes responsibility for. But in all of his great, great creation, God picked you to be a part of his plan in this world. You are special in his divine kingdom that Jesus set up here on earth. God wants to make your life a blessing. I don't think we hear that enough sometimes, because then we think, oh, Joel's just preaching health. That's not what Joel's preaching here. I just want you to understand who you are in the eyes of your Creator, in the one that you call God, in the one that you call Savior, in the one that you call Creator. You are chosen. He wants to use you in reaching lost souls. God could have reached people in many, many different ways. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is absolutely complete in himself. And he chose you. And he chose me to be the beacons of light in a very dark world. God wanted you to be a part of his work. That's the most amazing thing. One of the most amazing things about this all-powerful God that we know is Jesus and the great I Am. God wanted you to be a part of what he's... How exciting is it for a kid? Have you ever had a little kid that's watching you do something which may be pretty menial to you? It may be fixing a kitchen sink. It may be putting air in the tires of your car, or changing a flat tire, or hanging clothes out on the clothesline. Whatever it is that you're doing that may seem pretty menial to you. When that child says, can I break that egg for you? Can I stir that gravy for you? Can I hold those lug nuts when you're changing the tire for you? And you say yes. Doesn't that child's eyes just light up? Don't they just get to be so excited because they are a part of something that you're doing? Somebody that they look to that knows so much more than they do, that has so much more experience. I know nothing about cars. Nothing. I can check my oil. I can put air in the tires. I can change a flat tire. That's about the limit of my car stuff. When my son Reese was about 3 or 4 years old, he and I changed a tire together, and he just thought I belonged on the NASCAR circuit being a pit chief. And he was so excited that he got to be a part of that. We as God's children, God has decided, he does so many wonderful things. He is all over this world, sharing his love, protecting people, standing up for people, encouraging people. And he says, I'm going to let you do it with me. Boy, that should just bubble in your heart. To look at your father and to say, I get to be a part of what he's doing. It makes God excited to be a part of something with you. God wanted you to be a part of his work. God has a great destiny for your life. Out of the billions of billions of billions of people on planet Earth, God thought you were special. You are special to God. I've said it before, if you didn't know it already, before you even entered your mother's womb, you were a special private thought in the mind of God. And he said, I'm going to make him. I'm going to make her. And he or she's going to be part of my world in doing what I'm doing today. You see, the plans God has for your life are great plans. His plans for you is to not just sit idle and watch the world go by. His plans for you are not just to sit by and say, oh, I can't wait for this year to be over. I can't wait for this season of life to come or this season of life to be over. I can't wait till the kids are out of the house and we finally have an empty nest, or can't wait till retire. That's not God's plan for you. He expects your life to produce 30, 60, or even 100-fold, to bear fruit, to spread the gospel message, to grow the kingdom here on earth. You see, it's God's desire that no one should perish, that all would come to a saving knowledge and understanding of God's great grace and his mercy. And he uses you and he uses me to be that voice. to speak the name of Jesus, to share the gospel message of the cross. Don't rush over the words when God says, you are a chosen people. That is huge. You identify as a lot of different things. Some of you identify as a mother or a father or a husband or a wife. Some of you identify as a church worker. Some of you identify as a teacher, a mechanic, a computer specialist, nurse, whatever it is you are, you identify that. That is not what your identity is. Your identity is a child of God, chosen by Him to bring others into the kingdom. So when I say, and when God says this morning, you are chosen, I hope that lights you up like that little kid that is excited to fix a leaky faucet, or excited to hang the clothes on the line, or excited just to break the eggs into the bowl to make a chocolate cake. That should excite you. That your heavenly Father says, I pick you to be a part of something great here. It's nice to be chosen. I remember growing up when I was in elementary school and junior high, I was not a very athletic kid. And I was probably one of all the last ones, always chosen for kickball, last one chosen for t-ball, last whatever sport it was. It was me and another kid, and I always crossed my fingers, please pick me first before the other kid. And the other kid was a little girl. And was always excited not to be picked last. You should be sitting there this morning excited that you were not chosen last. In fact, you were created on purpose, for a purpose, to go out into this world and do some great things with your great Creator. So first and foremost, you are chosen. Second, which absolutely amazing, if that wasn't good enough, if that doesn't puff you up just a little bit knowing that you're a child of God and you are chosen, He takes it a step further and says, okay, not only are you a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood. What? And what does that mean? And did I sign up for this job? Or I was scared out of my mind when I learned that Joelle was coming, our very first baby. Mary told me she was pregnant, and all of a sudden it hit me, I'm going to be responsible for another human life. I can barely take care of myself. I can barely take care of Mary, and here I am going to be responsible for another human life. And then Jesus hits me with this. Okay, Joel, not only are you going to be a husband, not only are you going to be a dad, not only are you going to be a preacher, you are a royal priesthood. You know what that means? That means you have been given a ministry in this world. You may not be paid staff at a local church. You may not be paid staff at a local Christian university. But when you have decided to follow Jesus, when you have accepted the gift of forgiveness and the gift of grace and the gift of everlasting life, you have been given now this title of a royal priesthood. You are not called to be idle, sit by, watch the preacher do it, watch the church leadership, watch the ministry team leader, watch the Sunday school teacher, watch the whoever serve God. You are not called to be idle, but to work in reaching the harvest for Christ. Any good farmer will tell you, and I know many farmers, I've worked in many rural communities, including this one, any good farmer whose farm continues to grow and succeed will tell you they have many, many good workers alongside of them, not underneath them, beside them, working together for the ultimate goal of bringing the harvest in. Folks, you are chosen. You are forgiven. You are given grace. But boy, do you have a ministry and a work to be doing each and every day. We represent God in this world. Don't take that lightly. When you walk the streets, when you walk into work, when you walk into a restaurant, when you walk into church this morning, you represent God as a priest. We are God's representatives to the lost. I hope you know that. We are a reflection, a mirror reflection of God's love, His grace, and His mercy to those we meet who are without Jesus Christ today. Think of your interactions with people all week long. Are they a mere reflection of Jesus' love for people? Jesus' understanding, Jesus' patience, Jesus' compassion for other people. We represent also people to God. That's important. This is a two-way street here. Not only do we represent God to this great world, we also represent people to God. You see, we go before God's throne on a daily basis on behalf of others. We do it every Sunday morning. I hope you do it at home, where you're lifting people up to the throne of God. Be it they need a physical healing, an emotional healing, a spiritual healing. I hope you have somebody in your life that you get on your knees for each and every day and pray that God would melt their heart and accept His gift of grace, accept His gift of forgiveness, and to see Him for who He is, their Creator, but not just their Creator, the lover of their soul, and the one that wants to spend eternity with them. We offer up our prayers and we ask in faith for God to do the impossible in the lives of our generation. If you think it's a tough job to change somebody's heart, or nearly impossible to bring somebody to their knees to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, good. Because that is impossible and that's not your job. But your job as a royal priesthood is to be lifting those people up to God, giving God opportunity to work in those people's lives through you. So you are chosen. You are a royal priesthood, selected by God. And then, believe it or not, He takes it even a step further. Not only are you a chosen people, not only are you a royal priesthood, God says, nah, you're a holy nation. Now, He's not talking about the United States of America. He's not talking about Canada or Mexico here. He's not talking about Israel here. He is talking about the nation of the Most High God, the kingdom of God. You belong to Jesus, which means you belong to the greatest nation on the planet Earth, on earth and heaven above. Not that we are a group of perfect people. That's not what God's saying here. But we have been set apart for the work of God. You have been set apart, different than the rest of the world. We are called out. We love God with all of our heart and with all of our might. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning, what that looks like in our daily lives. I hope you know, as part of the kingdom of God, that you are part of a holy nation that is set apart, and you are to look and be different, and that's my next point. Won't get into that too much. But holiness isn't an outward expression. It's an inward possession where people will know that you are possessed by God Himself, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling and growing and breathing inside of you, continually changing you. When your spouse at home looks at you, they should see a different person than you were a year ago. They should see a more loving, more gentle, more compassionate, better husband, better wife than they were a year because of Jesus growing in you. Same goes with the world. When the world sees you, they should be able to see the changes because you have been set apart, molded, shaped by God Himself. God lives in us, and we are made the righteousness of Christ. That's what he's talking about here as being a holy nation. It is not our hairstyle. It's not the clothes that we wear. It is a holy desire to see people touched by God. That's why you're here this morning. That's why we worship the God we worship, is our desire to see other people touched by the same God that touched you right here in your soul and changed who you were from the inside out, gave you identity, gave you purpose, gave you life, and not just any ordinary life, a full life in Jesus Christ. So we have been chosen. We are a royal priesthood, this holy nation that has been set apart by God. And then the last one. Different translations translate this last one different. The NIV translates it as a people belonging to God. But I like some of the other translations. I think maybe King James translates it, and a couple others translate it as a peculiar people. That's quite different than just saying children of God here, or people belonging to God. You are a peculiar people. Well, some of you may sit back and say, oh, you have no idea, Joel, how peculiar I am. Yeah, I do, because I'm pretty peculiar myself. This is not a call by God to be strange or weird. What makes us peculiar is we live in a spiritual life in a very carnal world. The way you live, the way you think, what your worries are, what your cares are completely different than the rest of the world. It has nothing to do with what you look like physically. We have spiritual dreams and goals, not just fleshly pursuits. You see, the rest of the world is going to go after very fleshy things. They're going to find their comfort, find their security in very fleshy things, things they can see and hold on to physically. That's not our spiritual dreams. That's not our spiritual goals. A good rule of being peculiar is if you turn people off or repel people from Christ, then you're just plain strange and plain weird. If you draw people to God, your life is literally salt and light in this world that Jesus Christ called us to be. Your difference in this world is a good difference. Not being weird just for the sake of being weird or peculiar. Because let me tell you just being a Christ follower in itself, the world is going to find you very strange and very peculiar. I've been asked by family members in my early walk with Christ, why do you waste a perfectly good Sunday, a good day off, to worship a God you cannot see? That's very peculiar. I've had family members. Why do you give thousands of dollars of your income to a people that don't appreciate it and a God you cannot see? That's very peculiar to worldly people. So when God says that you are a peculiar people, he means you're going to be standing out because you're different. And let me tell you can't minister to people just by being different. We aren't all called to come out of the desert and thunder out the judgments of God. We're not all Moses. We're not all Abraham. We're not all just big giant prophets. The church doesn't have the ministry of John the Baptist. Let me tell you, it has the ministry of Jesus Christ. You follow him. You do what he's asked you to do, and you do what he did. The world saw Jesus as very peculiar. The church saw Jesus as very peculiar. That's why they strung him up on a cross. The world is going to see you as very peculiar. Jesus says, you follow me anyway. You go where I go. You do what I do. And everything's going to be great. We have been called to show forth the praises of him. And our call is to give people Jesus. You are chosen, yes. You are special, yes. You are a priesthood, yes. You are a holy nation for one reason. To bring people to the throne of Jesus. All through the book of Acts, we see the message to the world was Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's that simple. You want to know what the message, the gospel message of Jesus is? It's Jesus, his life story, and him crucified for sinners. And you're going to be called a lot of different names. You're going to be called weird. You're going to be called a Jesus freak. You're going to be called this. You're going to be called that. But don't forget, you are called chosen by your Creator. Being chosen is a blessing and a responsibility. I want you to hear that this morning, loud and clear. If you didn't hear anything else this morning, being chosen is a blessing and a very great responsibility. Today, being chosen by God as watchmen and watchwomen, we must stay at it like never before. We must redeem the time. What's the Bible say? For the days are evil. If you haven't figured that one out by now, let me enlighten you. The days we live in are evil. We are chosen. We are set apart. We are made holy so that we might impact our world for Jesus Christ. That's your invitation this morning. And like every invitation, it all starts out with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't bent your knee before his throne and given him possession of everything that you are and who you are, boy, today's your day. He invites you today to come. He chooses you to save you from your sin and from your guilt. And when you allow him to do that, I just read to you what he has in store for you. The wonderful things he wants you to do in his name and the life he wants you to live for him. But it all starts with acknowledging him as Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God. Allow him to save you. Be baptized in his baptism. Receive his forgiveness and start a life anew with him. If you've already done that before and you have not taken your job or your identity seriously, I invite you to do that as well this morning. As we sing our invitation song, bow your head before the throne of Jesus. Acknowledge and thank him for being chosen. Tell him today that you will take the responsibility of being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, seriously in your life, that one day you may look at him face to face and he can say, well, good done, good and faithful servant. Boy, don't we all want to hear that at the very end? Or should I say at the very beginning? Well done. Let's stand this morning. And we're going to be reminded by some words. Living for Jesus. That's what it's all about. Living for Jesus. Won't you make a decision for him this morning? Let's sing.
Living for Jesus. A life that is true.
thy